It is an absolute Christmas classic, and at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, it is tradition. Also tradition that our three guests show up every year to tell us about their wonderful tradition. It is a timeless holiday tradition of A Christmas Carol with the whole family, and you can revel in the joy and redemptive power of Christmas as told in the tale of Ebenezer Scrooge, the infamous miser who was shown the error of his ways and reformed by four spirits. We are able to journey back to Victorian England and experience the classic story filled with holiday carols and the wonderment of the season. Joining us, like ghosts in the night, we welcome Berkshire Theater Group Artistic Director and CEO Kate McGuire. Hello, how are you?
Hello, everyone.
Wonderful to see you.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Travis Daly is director of the show. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Hello.
And the man who adapted this and Scrooge himself, Eric Hill, is with us. How are you?
Bah, humbug.
always sounds good. Just to mention that this production runs at the Colonial Theater through the 22nd. Of December, and you can find out more information by going to berkshiretheater.org. I will repeat all of that information and at the end of the segment. But in the meantime, let us talk about the power of Scrooge. I assume that there is something that goes into that there is a re-examination, even though it's tradition, that you think of, oh, well, do we do this again as we have done for so many years in the past?
And yes, we do. We think, do we do this again? Is there a reason to do this again? And there are so many reasons this year to do this story again.
Yeah.
And also, the audiences grow. So last year was a wonderful year in terms of attendance. And this year, going into the production, is selling more strongly than last year. So it feels like, yes, it's a tradition for people. And it's also an opportunity for folks that haven't seen the production to see it.
Your typical audience, is it all over the board?
It's all over the board.
Yeah.
It's all over the board for this one. There are school children and kids that we work with in all of our other programs that participate. And so this year seems like we've hit a point where all of our high schoolers have either just gone off to college or are getting ready to go to college. And so the next generation is coming through. Mm. And there's another freshness to the piece in terms of the performers and what they bring to it. And each year, I'm sure Travis and Eric will speak to this, but the piece is looked at and we sort of redefine one aspect or two aspects of it, so it looks different. And
it strikes me as the Nutcracker and several other holiday classics, even Handel's Messiah, as wonderful introductions for children to whether it be theater, dance, classical music,
yeah. I had our 2-year-old grandson backstage the other day. And while he wasn't going to watch the entire rehearsal, I wanted him to be sure, Eric Hill and I are married, and I wanted him to be sure to see Scrooge before Scrooge walked on stage so he wouldn't be terribly frightened. And so he went running up to Papa Hill. Papa Hill lifted him, but behind him was the puppet that is the ghost of Christmas Future.
Mm.
And
huge puppet.
Huge puppet, but just standing there backstage. And our grandson was like, oh, what? And Papa Hill said, it's a ghost. And all night long, mm-hmm. I saw a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a huge impact on this little 2-year-old. And the next night, he saw two ghosts. So the story is really something in terms of its impact.
Well, first of all, nice job scaring the kid.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's our grandson, so he'd better get used to the theater, right? Thank you for reminding me that I didn't tell his parents.
We'll add a matinee for the therapy bills.
That's right.
But that's lovely. And so now you adapted this. What goes into an adaptation in the sense of here's a classic story. We all know it. We all know the basics of it.
Mm.
So how do you present it in a way that as Kate said, you can bring all of these kids and different groups that you work with into the fold and have them help you tell this story?
Well, the story itself is a novella, and it has an enormous life to it. I mean, there's characters and Victorian London and an enormous number of things. The trick in the adaptation, I think, is to bring the essence of the story down to a dramatic form and the scenes and the actual moments that tell the tale of Scrooge's transformation. So it's a theatrical exercise. I was just thinking today, I always go back and read the novella. and it's a beautiful book.
It is.
And it tells the story on its own terms as a novella. But when you get into the theater, there are other rules to obey. Another time factor is one of them. And you can tell things in visual pictures that you can't, in a novella you describe in words. But in the theater, you can put a picture up and things happen quickly within the context of that picture. So there is that. But to me, each time I read the story, I'm impressed by one thing, which is the heaviness of the story notwithstanding, and the very, very important story at the heart of it. There is a lightness to Dickens' writing and a spirit and a heart to his writing that lends enormous buoyancy to this experience. And so I learn as Scrooge, and Kate mentioned to me the other night as I came off stage, she said, I really have enjoyed this year's performance. It's so light. And of course, I take her word for so many things in this business, and I think she's right on. There's got to be a lightness and a kind of comic quality to Scrooge that makes the heaviness of the story balance out in a way that is so delightful. So I think in trying to adapt, to answer your question, capturing that spirit somehow that is inherent in the writing of the novella in the performance of the piece, I think is an important thing.
Were there rules for you, given that you've done this a while ago, and it's been obviously been worked on as you go through it each year, but were there rules for you of, okay, we're not going to make this, because it seems to me you could easily run the risk, and I've seen this in some productions, you could easily run the risk of becoming cartoonish or over a caricature of itself.
Correct. And it's a delicate balance to walk, because if you look at John Leech's illustrations from the 1943 edition of the Dickens text that Dickens himself published, there is a comical character to those illustrations. the story itself, like much of Dickens, takes on exaggerated qualities. But at the heart of all of that lies this important story about what it means to transform from greed and self-interest to a sense of compassion and understanding to the needs of the world. But we haven't, Joe, come around to your original question to Kate, if I understood it correctly. We don't re-angle or re-aim or re-sharpen the story in any particular way to suit a time. I think we let the times around us define the story that exists in its own form. And that's exactly what's happening. The audiences this year are
painfully aware of that.
Yes, I know you are. And I listen every morning. Oh, by the way, thanks for the really excellent bumper music this morning on the round table. All Christmas carols.
Yeah, we try.
And you were setting us up beautifully. Yeah. Although, God rest ye merry gentlemen, in jazz version, I'm not sure it's the first thing that comes to my mind. But it has that lightness. Christmas should have that lightness, that sense of free play. And that's the spirit that I think the adaptation wants to capture. And that's not something you can capture in the writing. That's in the book. You have to capture that in the production and the way you go about putting the show on the stage with the people you do it with.
Berkshire Theater Group's annual production of A Christmas Carol runs at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield through December 22nd. BerkshireTheater.org. We've talked to Kate McGuire. We have talked to Eric Hill. We now talk to Travis Daly, who is director of the show. What is it like to tell this story, to direct and put all of these parts together?
Well, I think it means so much to come back with Eric and some of the other actors year after year to bring this to life and to help educate and show, I think, the kids this message of redemption and transformation and in times of need, how people should be treated. And it's something that I'm hoping they, through the ghosts and the spirits and the fantasy, get this message that sticks with them and stays with them forever, whether they're in the show year after year or coming to see it for the first time.
When you look at just working with children, working with the various groups, talk a little bit about that, of the various pieces that are there that you're working with.
Well, I love all of the different varieties in age. So we go from third grade and up, and some of these kids have been with us for 15, 20 productions, or others, it's their first time. So to be able to bring them together to share a common goal, which is this story, I think is super special. And we're talking on the car ride over to see how they care and want to improve and want to know the details about the production and what the characters are thinking and why they're thinking that and how to kind of always keep a sense of what am I doing in this story? How does my part help add up to create this experience that people are going to come see?
When we talk about that experience, this is getting back to something, Kate, that we were talking about a moment ago, that there is a, because it's tradition and you have a new group, it just strikes me that there is, you have people that see it again and again. I'm sure you have people that come see every year, every mm-hmm. production. That's their tradition.
Yep.
But also just a wonderful way to introduce people to the story and introduce people to the theater.
That's exactly right. And I remember last year one of the sweetest compliments was one of the presidents of our local bank who called afterwards and said, God, I don't know why, but that story just really struck me. I sat there sobbing like a baby. Mm. And I thought, wow, this is a banker who's often unaffected. He brought his kids thinking the impact was going to be on these children. And in fact, the impact was on this man, who's one of the most wonderful community members. But yes, it's a tradition each year. It's about the impact, though, and what the story says. And it is this particular opening night for curtain calls. Now, I would like to think that it is particularly because of the quality of the performances on stage and the production values that we bring. It's Eric's acting for sure. It's Travis's directing.
Absolutely.
But it is a time when this particular story is striking home and people really do. It sounds so strange for me to say it, Little Mary Sunshine here, but people really do want to believe in goodness and redemption, as Travis said.
I agree with you. I also think, and I say this with all seriousness, but I also think that there are certain people that we believe need to be visited by ghosts in the night.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three, maybe even.
Yes, three. That you hope that there is.
And with each one, the story becomes more powerful. I mean, Christmas Present comes on and we're watching that go on. And then Christmas Past comes on and we're watching the past. And so we understand how Scrooge got to be Scrooge. And then we see the present who becomes something else in front of us by the time he leaves. And then by the time we're in the Ghost of Christmas Future, we all are aware of what could come if we don't mend our ways.
How many years have you been doing this?
Well, we have been doing it for 12, I believe, and Eric has been doing it
forever.
For a long time.
I did it in Springfield as well before I came here.
Well, I was going to ask you, does it, and I don't mean this as a smart alecky question, but is it easier as you age to become Scrooge?
It is. And I guess the reason is that I having done it so many times, the role seems to just have gotten into my bones. So when I actually do it, I don't necessarily even feel like I'm acting, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I just simply put my energy out there and let the role kind of take over and try to provide a kind of, as we were talking earlier, kind of lightness to it that feels very satisfying and one that I think only comes with age. And that makes it so, so much more fun. Because I don't feel like I'm pushing it or working it in any way. I feel like I'm just having the experience, and it's delightful. It really is.
I think one of the differences in the production this year is that, you know, we've watched these scenes with these ghosts in the past, and it's magical to see all the tricks and everything else going on the stage. But this year, the payoff of joy when Scrooge goes through what he's gone through and when he does get a good talking to by the ghosts, if you will, the payoff this year is so joyous. And the actors and the audiences are so happy to realize, oh, there is a payoff here. And yes, we can all be redeemed. So it speaks to what you were talking about, Joe.
And can you feel that?
Yes.
When you're on stage, you can feel that?
And I can, particularly this year. And I'm not sure why that is. Maybe I'm just more available and open to hearing it. And Maybe my own sensibilities are a little bit more tuned from listening to your show every morning, how terrible the world is that we live in and how there's almost nothing we can do about it.
We all have our roles, don't we?
Yes. But you keep me informed on a spiritual level. There's not a dissimilarity between our two jobs, which is that the world is as it is. We must be able to address it and face it day in and day out. And there are lessons to be derived from that. And one of them is that people listen and they hear story in a very particular kind of way, from the littlest child to the oldest adult. Story is a way into the heart of our experience to help us reshape and refeel and recontextualize the events of the world around us. And that is the power of story, collectively coming together to tell a story and listen to a story tells us that we will be okay. And I try to listen to WAMC to kind of get the same feeling.
You know, you made an interesting point to me, and I'm not saying this with any malice, but which is that our jobs are not dissimilar, and I feel that way. I just had an argument with a prominent actor, mm-hmm. Who we recently had on the program, and I don't need to name his name, because I actually ended up editing this part out because I felt that it was not fair to the production and the people who were putting it on. The point he was making is that this was all make-believe, that we go into the theater for make-believe, that we go into the theater for pretend. And I said, well, it strikes me, and what I have always learned and what I have always maintained, is that theater is a reflection. Theater is real. Theater is what we go to find our better selves and to explore these issues. And if we don't have that, then what do we have?
The theater is where we go to understand what it means to be human. And if that's not real, I don't know what is. Now, it can be presented in a variety of ways, and there are myths that we reach for and are told, but my goodness.
I was thinking also in in the terms of the Shakespeare's quote, that actors, people in the theater, are the abstract and chronicle of the times. And that puts us on a very similar level, directly speaking.
It was very strange because I kept on going back at it thinking that I was misunderstanding it. and I just kept on going back and back and back and back. And it kept on coming back to me. Mm-hmm. No, this is exactly what he meant. And I couldn't believe it. I was really struck by that. Well, I would think, Travis, that this is something that you want of your actors on that stage is to present themselves as true as they possibly can be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're looking for authentic, grounded, real relationships with an arc and with an understanding of how do we start and where are we going along this journey. And I think this is something that we want people to realize lives inside all of us. So all of these feelings and emotions and choices to change and redeem yourself is something that we can all do if we're willing to open up and be present and think about how we want to share ourselves with the world.
Well, isn't that, and what we hope is that when, and I was struck by what you were saying, Kate, a moment ago, that when you feel that joy, that then when you go out, and whether it be tonight or tomorrow or the next day, that you will hopefully in some way emanate that joy.
Hope is the word. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hope is the word that we're all looking for right now.
Yeah.
And so to be experiencing such joy in the theater, to be reminded of what that joy feels like collectively, and then to walk out of the theater and go, that's going to come. We're all going to be there. And we can do it in the most small acts of kindness.
What else is going on at the theater? When you're all said and done with this in the 22nd, then what happens?
I want to remind folks of Wednesday, December 13th, we have a community performance called Sensory Friendly Performance.
Oh, I love that you do this. Yeah.
Yeah. So do all the children that come.
Yes.
The lights are on. The smoke is gone. And it is for kids that may be experiencing autism or different kinds of issues that they need a little extra special environment. And so we create that for them. And that performance is Wednesday, December 13th at 7 p.m., Thursday, December 14th, the Great Barrington Rudolf Steiner String Ensemble will be performing. And Saturday, December 16th, at 7, Kids for Harmony, led by Alicia Stevenson, will be performing in the lobby. So we, you know, there's all kinds of community events happening as well. After this, we move on to Ladysmith Black Mambazo, David Sedaris, Che Malumbo, an extraordinary Argentinian dance group. And we're also looking forward to doing some readings at the Triplex. Wonderful Gwen Evitz, who has been curating our No Boundaries in Arts. No, there are no boundaries in the arts, Joe. And so
well, I love the arts.
We have been, I know you do. We're doing some readings about with plays that particularly focus on some of the issues of the day. And those will be happening at the Triplex once a month. And of course, our education program, which Travis is overseeing, is off in the schools with Billy Budd. And
yeah, we have our educational touring show, Billy Budd and the Bread Box. It's about the story of Herman Melville and his granddaughter Eleanor. It's kind of like an autobiography come to life, and we tour that around to different elementary, middle schools, and public performances through May.
Terrific stuff. Excellent. Yeah. And by the way, the production that started at the Berkshire Theater Group of Children of a Lesser God
is opening on Broadway in April. We're very excited.
And tickets are on sale now. I just saw an ad for it. It's very, very exciting.
Yes, it was a gorgeous production.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Well, not the least of which is the Berkshire Theater Group's annual production of A Christmas Carol, which runs at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield through December 22nd. You can find out information about that production, as well as all of the cool stuff happening at the Colonial and the other venues that make up the Berkshire Theater Group, by going to berkshiretheater.org, berkshiretheater.org. My thanks to Kate McGuire, Eric Hill, Travis Daly. Thank you very much.
Happy holidays.
Beautiful holiday season. And thanks, as always, for sharing with us. I love having you in the studio talking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.